Isaiah chapter 59, read together at verse 1. Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither his ear heavy that it cannot hear. And then Isaiah diagnoses the problem in verse 2. But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you, that he will not hear. Over, please, to Romans chapter 5. One verse in the New Testament, the book of Acts, and then Romans chapter 5. We'll read together at verse 10. For if, when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more, being reconciled, having been reconciled, we shall be saved or preserved by his life. When we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son. A few books further, please, in our New Testament, to Ephesians chapter 2 for our final reading. Ephesians chapter 2. Read together at verse 12, and the Apostle Paul is speaking to believers, and he's reminding them of a time past before they were saved, before they had their sins forgiven, before they knew the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. And he says in verse 12 that at that time ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth or nation of Israel, and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope, and without God in the world. But now, in Christ Jesus, now that they were saved, ye who sometimes or at one time were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. Now, I don't want to forget, on behalf of all like myself who are visiting the assembly here in Midland Park, it is a privilege to be here and actually to participate in this manner and preaching of the gospel. I have thoroughly enjoyed the ministry this weekend, and I'm sure everybody has. There has been something practical for everybody. We're grateful to the saints who have cared for us in every way, and their hospitality, the food, and the fellowship we have enjoyed, and for our esteemed brethren David and Sandy for allowing us to enjoy that which they have learned over years and years of study and of on-the-job training. We are grateful for all of your knowledge that you have imparted to us. We're going to change gears a bit, and I thought in coming here and asked to give a little message in the gospel that I had a message prepared. But David said something yesterday that changed all of that. He said that sin is the cancer of relationships. Sin is the cancer of relationships. And I have seen that all too up close and personal, what sin can do to a relationship. I am sure that we all know of those we love or those around us, and we have seen the effects of sin upon earthly relationships between husbands and wives, parents and children, whatever the case may be. We have enjoyed in the conference of hearing about heavenly relationships between the Father and the Son and the Spirit of God and their various roles and how they are all working together in unison to fully fulfill the will of God, the purposes of God. We have heard much, much more upon earthly relationships between husbands and wives, between parents and children, and just now grandparents and grandchildren. I look back with great joy upon the moment that my relationship with my present wife began. It was right here where I'm standing on October 4th, 1986, that we were joined together in marriage, holy matrimony. She became my wife. I became her husband. We remember, all of us who are in some kind of relationship, we'll say husband and wife, or those who are married, when that relationship began, there was a specific moment, a specific time, a specific place. I also go back in my mind with great joy the moment my relationship with God began. I'll never forget it. It was February 4th of 1982, on my knees by my bedside in a little town of Terryville up in Connecticut, at 10:55 in the morning, when I should have been in school, but I was home because I didn't want to go to hell. And I stopped trying to save myself. I knew I wasn't right with God. And I cried out to God for mercy. And He saved an ungodly sinner like me. I'll never be in hell. You can know that too. You too can rest on promises that are found in the Word of God. Like, he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. You will never perish. You will never come into condemnation, into judgment because of your sin. You can pass from death unto life. And I ask you tonight, for those who have never been born again, you've never been saved, what is your relationship with Almighty God? Do you go back to a specific time and a specific place, a specific moment, when you passed from death unto life? When you began a relationship with God? We read a verse that told us about a time when we were far off. I want to speak firstly about the reality of separation. The reality of the fact that all of us, as we are brought into this world, we are born in sin. Far from God. Far from God. I look at my relationship with my wife, and I love her with all of my heart. She is my best friend. We confide in each other. We trust each other. We are a help to one another. Do you have that with God? You confide in Him? Is He your best friend? Is He one that you turn to in time of trouble? Or is it that He seems so far away, so far removed from your way of daily living that a thought of God never crosses your mind? Isaiah gets right to the source of the problem. You see, it's not that God is far off. We're far off. It's not that God cannot hear. It's not that His hand is shortened, that He cannot save. The problem is not with God, it is with us. Isaiah says, it's your sins. It's your sins that have separated between you and your God. The reality of a separation between you and God. The reality of a separation between me and God in the way that I was born, in my condition, being lost, in my sins, far from God. And how often men and women will blame God. Why is the world like in this condition that it is in today? And they blame God. Why do terrible things happen? They blame God. The problem's not with God. The problem's within the very heart of man. The heart of man, God said, is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Desperately wicked. We have heard ministry throughout this conference weekend about how God would have us to be in our relationships. And I find that as I look at God's standard, I fall so far short of what I should be, what He would have me to be. as a husband or as a parent or whatever the case may be. And as we look into the Word of God and use it as it is intended, like a mirror, and God points out to us, like a mirror does, it points out our flaws. It doesn't fix them, but it points them out to us when we look in the mirror in the morning and we do something about it. And God says, all have sinned and come short of His glory. We have all sinned against Almighty God, the one with whom we have to do, the one in whose hand our breath is. And we blame God, when all along the problem was within each of us. Sin has caused a separation between all of mankind and God. And those of you who have been raised in Sunday school and in Christian homes have learned the very origin of that, the very beginning of that, when sin separated man from God, back in the Garden of Eden, and how they partook of fruit that God had said, do not eat. The day you eat, you will die. Spiritually, they died. And death is a separation. When an individual dies, their body is separated from their soul. We have been born spiritually dead in trespasses and in sins, separated from God. The position that Adam and Eve fell into, we have been born into. Separated from God because of our sin. And what is man's response to this? Well, what did Adam do? He hid. Rather than facing the problem, he ran away from the problem. He hid among the trees so that when God came by in the cool of the day and called him, Adam, where are you? He was hiding. You think there's any place that an individual can hide from God? Jonah was in the belly of a whale in the depths of the sea and he couldn't hide. We were hearing this morning in the lesson to the children in the Sunday school, God knows all about you. He knows what you're thinking at this moment. He knows what your plans are for maybe tomorrow, a day that for you may not come. We don't know. No guarantee. Some people hide behind a religion. I did it for the first 15 years of my life, hiding from God behind a religion, trusting in myself, in my own good works, works that I thought were good, but they weren't. Some people hide behind a moral life. Some people hide behind a baptism, or their prayers, or payments. Some people hide behind the fact that their parents are saved, thinking, well, they're saved, that must make me closer to God. Nothing is further from the truth. What is your relationship with God tonight? Would you like Him to be your Savior? Would you like to call Him Father? To enjoy a nearness with Almighty God that you've never experienced before. Everybody in this room tonight can enjoy that blessed relationship. Sin has made us far from God. The reality of separation. But there is a remedy. There is a remedy of salvation and of reconciliation. Isaiah has pointed out the problem. It's not with God. He says it's your sins. That's the problem that you have to deal with. I can't deal with it for you. Your parents who love you and want to see you saved cannot deal with that problem for you. As parents, we can put our children in the pathway of salvation and live before them and pray for them. But ultimately, it comes down to you. And I know that there are more than just unsaved children here tonight. The problem is your sins. And you can't hide from it. You say, well, when I'm older, I'll think about it. When I have more time, I'll think about it. Who in the Bible said, when I have a more convenient season? And you never read of him having a more convenient season. You know what God says is the best time to be saved? When you're older? When it's more convenient for you. Right now. Right now is the best time to be saved. Now is the accepted time. Today. Today is the day of salvation. And you can be saved. And you can walk out those doors at the close of this conference, 2010, and you can say, resting on the promises of God, because Christ is your Savior, it is well. It is well with my soul. My sins have been all taken care of. Your sins have separated between you and your God. Problem's not with God. God is not our enemy. You are the enemy. I was the enemy. But we read in Ephesians chapter 2, you, he's saying now to Christians, Paul is, you who were once, at one time, far from God, you've been brought near. How? How can a sinner that is far from God be brought nigh? How can that which has been so ruined by sin be made right? Very simply, he says this. The blood of Christ. The blood of Christ. Plus what? Nothing else. The blood of Christ. Not plus my good living. Or my going to church. Or my obeying the commandments. The blood of Christ cleanses us from all sin. Tonight you can be made right. Today you can be made right with God. You who are far from God could not be further away from God positionally because of your sin, and as I was because of my sin, can be reconciled. All can be made right. That which is coming between you and God can be removed. And you know what's coming between you and God. Isaiah said it. And I want to impress that on your minds. Your sins. Your sins. I know that we like to think we are better than we really are. That's human nature. That's within all of us. You younger ones may go to school and look at classmates and bullies and see some of the things he or she does, and you say, I would never do something bad like that. And I'm glad you wouldn't. Are you better than them? Are you better than them? What does God say about it? My opinion doesn't matter. God says, there's no difference. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. You say, but I try to keep the commandments. I'm sincere. Well, I'm ashamed to stand before you and say, whether physically or in my mind, I've broken all of the commandments. Every one. So have you. Because the commandments were not given as a means of salvation. But God says, by the law, by those very commandments, is the knowledge of sin. God is trying to make us aware of what our problem is so that we'll take care of it. We'll get it taken care of. Although it's not by our own works, how does that sin get removed? How do those who are far off get brought back to God, reconciled? The blood of Christ. No other way. The Lord Jesus himself, God manifest in the flesh, said these words, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man, nobody comes to the Father but by me." One way of salvation, the blood of Christ. And I would just like to speak in the closing moments of this meeting about the death of the Lord Jesus. The remedy of salvation. If Christ had not left heaven, if he had not become a man, something that he was never before, yet he never ceased to be who he always was in eternity past. But verily God, we sometimes sing, verily God, truly God, yet become truly human. And he that was better than the angels became lower than the angels to die in our stead, in our place. You go to school, your teacher gets sick. They close school down. No, they don't do that. You have a substitute teacher come in. Somebody takes his place. Somebody takes her place. What do your sins deserve? What do my sins deserve? Eternal death. Eternal death. Why was the Lord Jesus on the cross? I know, because it was revealed to me on February 4th, 1982, at 5 minutes to 11 in the morning at my bedside. My sins were taking me to hell, and I didn't know what to do. And so I turned to God and asked him to save me. And he showed me something I never saw before. In those months before that I have sat under gospel meetings, I never saw what I saw that morning. When the Lord Jesus Christ was on that cross, the sinless, spotless Son of God, he was bearing my sins in his own body on the tree. He was paying my debt that I owe to God. We owed a debt to God that we could never pay. And he was paying a debt that he didn't owe. And he satisfied God's righteous demands in regard to our sin. Sin must be punished. What kind of parents would we be if our children did something wrong and we did nothing to correct it? We'd be failures as parents. God is just. God is holy. God is righteous. Everything that we are not as sinners. And he must punish sin or he wouldn't be those things. But God himself has provided a remedy so that you, whoever you may be in this audience today, who are far away and you're far off from God, and it just seems impossible how you might be brought near. God has provided that way, that might be possible, by the blood of Christ, the death of the Lord Jesus Christ at Calvary. He bore my sins in his own body on the tree, sometimes saying all my iniquities on him were laid. All my indebtedness by him was paid. He was making payment for my sin. He was satisfying a righteous and holy God in regard to my sin. He was making payment for my sin and yours. Because you have nothing to pay. I have nothing to pay. And I can do nothing, and you can do nothing to earn, to merit God's so great salvation. I want to leave you with this today. There is indeed the reality of a separation between you and God if Jesus Christ is not your Savior. And if you go on in your life in that same condition of being separated from him, you will be like that for all eternity, separated from God. And you'll miss out on heaven. You'll miss out on a grand and glorious eternity to be spent in the presence of one who loved you and gave himself for you. Or today, right now, you can think about what the problem is. Your sins. And you don't need to come to me because I can't do a thing about it. Your parents, as much as they want to, cannot do a thing about your sins. God is the only one who can take care of your sins, who can remove them, so that he can say, as he says to those who have trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ, as far as the east is from the west, an immeasurable distance, so far hath he removed our transgressions, our sins from us. Would you like that tonight? Would you like to have the matter of your sins all taken care of? So to speak, have the slate wiped clean and have a new relationship with a God that inhabiteth eternity. Because while there are some like Adam and myself who hid themselves, even though we did that, God was seeking. He did nothing wrong. Mankind did something wrong. And even though he did, God was seeking them out. He wants to have a relationship with you. He wants to be your Savior. He wants to take your sins away. He wants to cleanse you by the very blood that he shed for you on Calvary's cross. I trust that today, as the meeting comes to a close, you would not forget the importance of the reality of separation. It's your sins that have separated between you and your God. And as well as the remedy of salvation that God has provided because of his love and his grace and his mercy toward us. Trust that you would see your need today as a Savior. And if you would like some help, or you have a question to ask, please seek it out. Don't put it off for another moment. It is a joy when a seeking Savior and a seeking sinner, they meet together. They always meet. They always meet. Are you seeking to be saved today? Or are you hiding? We like to play that game when we're young, right? Hide and seek. That's a very dangerous game to play with God. He is seeking. And men and women all across the world are hiding behind something. Behind a false sense of security. Behind something that won't stand in the day of judgment. Trust him today. Understand the problem. And go to the one who alone can take care of that problem. The very God of heaven. And understand when the Lord Jesus Christ was nailed to the cross at Calvary almost 2,000 years ago. He's making payment for your sin. So that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life, shall we?